All right, you got your thinking caps on tonight? Because, yeah, thanks, Dale. You're talking about a interesting and complicated story, what we're going to look at tonight, all right? Matter of fact, it's interesting. I knew this story and was at least somewhat familiar with it, but did not realize just how difficult it is in some places, okay? I wanted to put together this big chart for you so it'd make more sense, but I didn't have time to do that, so I'm sorry about that. But let's read chapter 8 of 2 Kings, verse 16 and following. Then we're going to get some background and lay quite a bit. We're going to do quite a bit of reading of Scripture tonight. This is an amazing story, really, okay? And in the fifth year of Joram, okay, so that's J-O-R-A-M. There's a reason I'm emphasizing that, because it's coming here in just a minute. The son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, being then king of Judah, Jehoram, J-E-H-O-R-A-M. Okay, so that we've already got that, right? Two different names. The son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Okay, somebody out loud, what do we know about the kings of Israel? Bad, wicked, all of them. There were no good ones at all. Okay, so he's walking in the way of the kings of Israel. As did the house of Ahab. What do we know about Ahab? Yeah, really bad. That's right, very bad. Matter of fact, the Bible says nobody did wickeder than Ahab. Like he just took the chart, okay? For the daughter of Ahab was his wife. That would be Athaliah, okay? And he'd evil in the sight of the Lord, okay? Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say that she was Jezebel's daughter, though most Bible scholars believe she was. I believe she was as well. She could have been the daughter of a concubine or something like that, but she definitely was Ahab's daughter. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him to give alway a light and to his children. So God is going to keep the Davidic covenant no matter how wicked the kings are, because the Davidic covenant had to do with God's faithfulness, not the people's faithfulness. All right. So there would be someone on the throne of David. And in his day, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. So Joram went over to Zer and all the chariots with him. And he rose by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him about. The captains of the chariots and the people fled into their tents. It goes on to talk about them continuing to rebel a little bit. The rest of the acts of Joram, verse 23, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay? In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, begin to reign. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. Okay, Ahab's dad was named Omri. A lot of times they would call someone a daughter or son just because they were in their lineage, not necessarily in their direct line. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. And he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Assyria, and Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. And King Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. Anybody confused yet? Okay, so by the way, if you want to get really confused, read other sections like in Chronicles where Joram, J-O-R-A-M, is also called Jehoram. Okay, sometimes the Bible refers to him, so they're at times the exact same name, okay, which is like, really? Did everybody have some kind of affinity with J names during this time or whatever, okay? So, Joram is the son of Ahab, Jehoram is the son of Jehoshaphat, and they both reign at the same time, at least for a time, okay? Now, when you look at the biblical chronicle, a lot of times God would start, let's say he picked up with a king of Israel, he would go to the end of that king's line and say, and he died, and then it would jump to Judah and come back, okay, now in this year, Judah would reign, and it finished with him, then it'd come back, okay, that this guy reigned. That's the way the Word of God goes sometimes, back and forth between the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, okay? Jehoram was Athaliah's husband, and her brother was Joram. Confused yet? Yes, all right. Well, sometimes the names are spelled the same way. Athaliah's marriage to Jehoram appears to have been part of a treaty or a political alliance between Israel and Judah. One particular writer posits this political marriage as a peace settlement, putting an end to the political hostilities between Judah and Israel, and since the division of the monarchy. Okay, so this was a kind of a settling in. Now, what's interesting about this story is Jehoshaphat was overall a good king. He really made one critical mistake, and it was to let his son get married to Jezebel's daughter, all right? He aligned himself with Ahab, which he had no business doing whatsoever, almost cost him his life in the process because he was shot in battle. And then, of course, this marriage ends up being a disaster as well. I've entitled this, Athaliah, a killer with no conscience. Because that's really what she was, okay? So Jehoram of Israel is killed in the cleansing of Jehu, okay? You remember Jehu? He was the guy that Elijah ordained, and he was going to cleanse the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Ahab and all its descendants, okay? Most people know Jehu because he drove furiously, right? He broke the speed limit on his chariot, okay? Now, if you want to add a little bit of an interesting twist, Jehu is the son of Jehoshaphat, but a different Jehoshaphat. Yeah, see, you're like, wait a minute. Can we get any more confusing about this story in the process, right? Ahaziah is the son of Jehoram and Athaliah, and Jehoram was a great guy too, and I'm being a little sarcastic there. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, it says, Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, his sons, the sons of Jehoshaphat, and it lists those sons' names. There's a bunch of them. There's 1, 2, 3, there's 6 of them. These were all the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword. So he kills all his brothers, just boom, okay? So between him and Athaliah, they make a really great team. If, again, being a little sarcastic, okay? He also kills lots of princes, different ruling class in the nation there with him. He just kills all them too, okay? Because of this, 2 Chronicles chapter number 21 tells us that God said to him, because you were so wicked, you are going to die a sickness of the bowels. And God is very specific here. He says that his bowels would fall out on the ground. And that's exactly what happens to him, and he dies that way. So he dies a gruesome death because of the way he treated his brethren and the people of Israel. It's very interesting. He is so despised and disliked by the people that they did not mourn for him. That may not be a huge deal to us, but in this culture, that is a huge deal. They couldn't have done anything more than slap him in the face, okay? They did not mourn for him and did not bury him in the sepulchers of the kings, the Bible says. He also died without being desired, which means he died with no honor. They could care less about him, okay? But you can imagine if he killed his own brothers and then he killed a host of other princes around the kingdom, that he probably didn't make a whole lot of friends, okay? Because of this and his sons being killed in battle, Ahaziah, the youngest, then ascends to the throne, okay? So he's the youngest of the sons. Many of the original sons of Jehoram and Athaliah are killed in battle. For instance, in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, Verse 17, they came up into Judah and break into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left except Jehoahaz, the youngest of the sons. And you're like, wait a minute. I thought you just said it was Ahaziah. Well, if you want a little more twist to the story, Ahaziah and Jehoahaz are the same people. They're the same person. There's just two different names, okay, in it. Confused yet? You're like, what? Yeah. Ahaziah rules, or Jehoahaz, for only one year, and his reign is wicked. Unbelievably wicked. He too is killed in the cleansing that Jehu does. Okay, so remember, Jehu has been tasked by Elijah to cleanse the northern kingdom of Ahab and all of Ahab's descendants. Okay? But he also ends up killing this guy, Ahaziah, because he happens to go check on his family. You're like, what do you mean his family? Well, Ahab and those guys would have been grandpa, because he's Athaliah's son. Okay, so keep all this together, because this is important for you. You're like, forget it, Pastor. We are not keeping all this together, right? Yeah, I understand, okay? He has joined armies with Israel and was there when Jehu started his coup. Okay, so he's on scene when Jehu starts his coup. And of course, this coup ends up, they throw Jezebel down from the tops of the things. Ahab is at a venture shot with an arrow, stands up all day in his chariot, which speaks to, by the way, his physical strength. He was quite the military leader, even though he was a wicked king. He dies that night. They wash his chariot out. The dogs lick the blood exactly like God said. Jezebel is eaten by the dogs exactly like God said. So all of this is happening at the same time, okay? Within just a couple of years of each other, some of these events are happening within days of each other, all right? So this all sets then the background of Athaliah and what she does. So think about this. All of Athaliah's sons have been killed. Her brother has been killed. Her father and mother have also been killed. All of it in connection to Jehu's cleansing of the temple. All right? Now, another little bit of aspect. There's tons of characters that we could spin off on this, okay? But one of the things that Jehu was told specifically by Elijah to do was to destroy Baal worship. So he's not only cleansing them of the upper leadership, but he's also taking out anybody associated with Baal, destroying the temple and all that kind of stuff in the northern kingdom. Okay, so Baal worship is pretty much trying to be annihilated there. And I think that's significant because Athaliah is going to introduce Baal worship in southern kingdom of Judah. And she's going to try to hold it in vogue, if you will. She wants it to still be, because the northern kingdom has been eliminated in the Baal worship. That's really part of what's taking place with her, okay? Now, there's something as I studied her life that I want you to get, okay? If you don't get anything else out of this message other than some historical facts, right? Is that we must realize that wickedness cannot be contained. One of the things that just struck me as I worked through this passage of Scripture is so many times people believe, well, I can just play with wickedness over here, I can do a little bit of wickedness here, and I can do a little bit of wickedness here, but you cannot contain wickedness. It runs rampant once you feed it a little bit. In my life, in your life, in Athaliah's life, most of these, you can't convince me that most of these people were good people overall, they just decided to kill all their family. Like, how do you get to a point where you kill all your grandchildren? Right? I mean, we jokingly, and legit, it's a joke, okay, just in case you're wondering. You know, people have said, I might kill my children, but I'm not going to kill my grandchildren, right? We're joking in the process, okay? But your grandchildren? That's exactly what Athaliah does. She slaughters all her grandchildren in the process. And we'll kind of work through that, okay? So let's look at a couple things. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles. You realize 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles are companion books, okay? So many of the stories are repeated. Some of them give different facts than the others do, okay? 2 Chronicles chapter number 22. 2 Chronicles chapter number 22. Verse 1. The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead, for the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So that's why the young boy is now the youngest son, not necessarily as a boy. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah, so he's not a young man. When he began to reign, he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wicked. Okay? So if you want the first truth that we're going to see out of Athaliah's life, is she counseled her son to do wickedness. So his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Okay, now let's just think about this for a minute. Who was the chief aggravator, if you want to use it that way, or agitator to Ahab's wickedness? Jezebel. The Bible tells us that, right? Athaliah, her daughter, she is learned well from her mom, okay? And she's now antagonizing, or whatever words you want to use it, her son to do wickedly. Verse 4, wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. So this whole line is just unbelievable. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. He walked also after the counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Assyria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians smote Joram. He returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah, but when he fought with Hazael, king of Assyria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel because he was sick. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God, by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had appointed or anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. Okay, so this is what's happening here. And by the way, God was a part of this other guy being a part of the Jehu cleansing. Remember, Jehu was to destroy the entire house of Ahab. That would have included Athaliah and her people connected with it as well. It came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, he found the princes of Judah, the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah, that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. And he sought Ahaziah. They caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him, because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. So this Athaliah was a contributor to her son's wickedness, to her husband's wickedness. She wanted him to be wicked. She was his counselor to do so, particularly in the area of Baal. Now, we encourage or discourage others in the pursuit of things good and bad. We do. You're like, I don't do anything. Yes, we do. We either encourage them to pursue that which is good or that which is bad, or we discourage them from pursuing that which is good or that which is bad. We get choices in that. People do look to us. Maybe they wouldn't write, and he was the person that helped me do wickedly. But they could have, in some cases, of people. What would others say about us? Would they be encouraged to do right? Would they be encouraged to do wrong? That was one of the first things you realize about Athaliah. Number two, the Bible tells us that she usurped the throne of Judah. Okay? Now, in verse 10 of this same chapter that we're in, 2 Chronicles 22, but when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. The seed royal would only be her grandchildren. That would be the people who were next in line. But Jehoashabeth, the daughter of the king, this is really cool, okay? She is a part of this household, this lady here, okay? She is the one that originally takes Joash, the son of Ahaziah and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain. Okay, so a lot of times Jehoiada, the priest, gets credit for saving him. It's actually Jehoiada's wife, which is this lady here. She is Jehoshabeath. She's the one who actually pulls the kid out, okay? Put him in his nurse and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. You realize she's hiding this baby from her own mom. I mean, from the kid's grandmother, but it's her mom, okay? That's what's happening. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. Okay, so by the way, this story is recorded for us in 2 Kings chapter 11 as well. So she usurps the throne of Judah after the death of her son, Ahaziah, and before Ahaziah's son, Joash, could be crowned king. He's the only living descendant, okay? She reigned for approximately 6 years and was the only female ruler in Judah. Athaliah usurped the throne of Judah. She was Judah's only reigning queen, another author says, and the strongest Baal advocate among Judah's rulers. So she is heavily pushing Baal worship. Okay? The children that she killed were her grandchildren. We assume that there were a lot of them. We don't know for sure. And I'm going to tell you why I assume there was a lot of them. She didn't realize that one was missing. Okay, so there must have been a host of grandchildren. She kills them all. Okay, either that or she paid no attention that her grandson had escaped. I love what one author said about this story. He said, on a cosmic scale, this was a step in the conflict between good and evil, since it attacked God's plan to bring forgiveness for sin through the line of David. And don't miss that. Judah was the line of Christ, specifically the line of David. Had she got to Joash, that line would have ceased. There would have been no one left. See, God made a promise, and all the wickedness in the world cannot overcome God, and I'm so grateful for that. So Joash is hid there, and he continues the line of David, the line of Christ, through his seed. So this was a satanic attack, okay, in another attempt to destroy the line of Christ, long before he gets to Calvary to die on the cross of Calvary. After Jehoram's death, his son with Athaliah continues the alliance between the northern and southern kingdoms. So Athaliah may have usurped the throne to continue the reign of the house of Omri or Ahab as part of the treaty made between Israel and Judah. So some Bible scholars believed she was trying to maintain that dynasty, if you will, though they were all wiped out in the northern part of the kingdom at this point, and Jehu is now ruling. Athaliah sees that her son is dead and then sets out to destroy the royal family. Jehosheba, Ahaziah's sister, protects Joash, the rightful heir of the throne, by stealing him away. We're going to talk about this in just a little bit. Where do they hide him? In the temple. Why there? She's probably not going there. Right? I mean, it just struck me. The best place to put him in the house of God, because she sure is not coming here. And she didn't. They kept him there for 6 years, undetected by Athaliah at all. Okay? And when he first went in there, he was a year old, and his nurse went with him. Okay, so she's stolen away too, if you will, in that. Now, just quickly tonight, Brother Stan sent me a text, I think it was last Wednesday, and said, might want to know a little bit about Baal worship. Okay, so we're not going to do an extensive study on Baal worship, but what do we know about it? Well, Baal was the Canaanite storm god, and he brought rain. quote unquote. By the way, isn't that interesting that Elijah said it's not going to rain and it didn't rain until I say so, right? If you study God, he specifically gives evidence against the gods that people are trusting in. What did he do in Egypt? He attacked the very gods that they said could do certain things. So he said, oh, you're serving the God of rain? It's not rain until I say so. And it didn't until Elijah said so. I love that, okay? Baal was considered the chief Canaanite pantheon of gods, because there's a pantheon of gods. He would have been considered the chief, or she, or Shem, or whatever it was, okay, of the Canaanite pantheon of gods, all right? Baal was a part of the religion of virtually every culture of the ancient Near East. He appears under many names. Baal Peor, that used multiple times in the Bible. Shemosh, which was the Moabite god of Baal. Baal Berath is another one, Baal of the Mountains. As the storm god and bringer of rain, Baal was recognized as sustaining the fertility of crops, animals, and people. Therefore, his followers often believed that sexual acts performed in his temple would boost Baal's sexual prowess and thus contribute to his work in increasing fertility. So, again, wickedness was deeply connected with this cult. If you remember, we studied some things about 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians culture was deeply set in this kind of sexual wickedness connected to their quote-unquote worship, okay? Numbers 25 records the first time Israel worships this quote-unquote God. Many of the judges' time period of cycles of wickedness revolved around Baal worship. Remember, Israel would do wrong. God would send somebody to capture them. They would repent of that. God would send a judge. They would do wrong. Many times when they would do wrong, it was Baal worship that was involved in this cycle. Judges 3 and verse 7, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. That was another name there, Balaam. Once the kingdom split, worship of Baal occurred in both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. In Israel, Baal worship was initially promoted by Ahab. What Ahab did, he didn't quote-unquote introduce Baal worship into the system. What he did was sanction it. He was the king who kind of put his stamp of approval on it, brought it full scale into the nation of Israel. In Judah, the worship of the Canaanite deities was practiced off and on. Remember, they'd have some good kings, bad kings, good kings, depending on the preferences of the king. The prophets roundly condemned the practice of worshiping any gods besides Yahweh, Jehovah God. Baal worship, though known for a time, had been known for a time, was popularized in sanctions beginning with Ahab and then with Athaliah in the southern kingdom. Now, given the connection of Athaliah to the Baal temple, the Baal cult may explain her usurping of the throne as a means to institute central Baal worship in Judah. I think this is the central reason why she did what she did, though it certainly does not justify it. One author says they view the likely motive of Athaliah's extermination of the royal house to be that she was in prime position to be the head of a pro-Baal movement in resistance against the reform of zealous Yahwehs, or zealous Jehovahites, people who wanted to work with the law. Now, during this time, were there people connected tenaciously to God? How many? What's that? Okay, there were a bunch that God told Elijah had not bowed the knee, right? In that. So we know there was a remnant of people. We know that Obadiah, who worked in the palace, had saved 100 prophets, 50 in a cave each, and fed them and so forth in that process. So there is a movement in Israel, and Elijah is not alone. God tells him that very clearly. You're not alone. And so part of her motive may have been to stamp out the remaining of those people, to get rid of worship of Jehovah completely and to institute Baal worship. So she was quite the lady, wasn't she? Amazing. Let me give you one other thing here, and that is just as an application of this point. Wickedness knows no bounds. Wickedness knows no bounds. The question for us, again, relates back to the first point as well. Are we playing with it? So I don't know how many people I've been told in one form or another, this won't hurt me. Are you sure? How far will it take you? I've read stories, talked to people who have said something along these lines. I had no idea I would end up here. That's because Satan never tells us where we end up. It's not going to happen. He's not going to show you the end result, because that's not very appealing. He's going to show you the beginning that looks like everything's okay. And you think when Athaliah was a little girl running around playing with her baby dolls, she thought she'd kill all her grandchildren one day? Now, maybe Jezebel taught her to do that, but I doubt it. But this is what she ended up doing to reign. Amazing, really. And I think cold-blooded murder is a good description of her, that you can do this to your grandchildren. It's amazing. There's more. Lord willing, we'll talk about it 2 weeks from tonight, because next week we're going to be with Master's Club. Don't forget that. It's going to be a great night as we get together and see the things that they've done. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Though a somewhat confusing story at times, it reminds us of how wicked wickedness is, how sin can grab a hold of us and wrap its claws around us, all of us. And Lord, it is not something to be trifled with. And yet you defeated it on the cross of Calvary, and we are so grateful for that. We can yield ourselves to you rather than to sin. Thank you for that. We love you. In your name we pray these things.